Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 10, Verse Number 27, The Battle Between the Demigods and the Demons, Text 26. Tasya sam sarvato devaha nanavaha dvajayudaha Lokapala sahaganayar Vayagni Varuna Dayaha. Surrounding Lord Indra, King of Heaven, with demigods seated on various types of vehicles and decorated with flags and weapons. Present among them were Vayu, Agni, Varuna, and other rulers of various planets, along with their associates. There is no purport, and there's no purport for at least 10 verses or more. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jena Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, today is the beginning of spring. Today is celebrated throughout the northern hemisphere of India as Vasant Panchami. It's considered one of the most auspicious days of this particular time of the year, practically one of the most, probably the most. It's a time where there are a lot of festivals, pujas, various types of celebrations centered around bringing in good crops, centered around worshiping the devas, demigods, centered around family members and friends, and also centered around women. It's also connected with women, that auspiciousness and good fortune will be there for all ladies. It's a very important holiday. It's a time where everything becomes, what we say, alive. Spring means to come alive. Winter means sleeping. Of course, in the West, you really know what winter is, because it really gets cold. And when spring comes, there's a noticeable change. Here, it's not so noticeable. Climate is very much consistent, at least within a certain range of consistency, not such drastic changes as we see in other, well, you say, Western countries. Here, people dress in a certain color today. Yellow. Take a look at the deities. It's yellow. So yellow is the color of the day. Ah, we have not too many yellow. Of course, the brahmacharis don't have much choice. They can't change much. But yellow is the color to today. When Mataji, she's dressed all in yellow there. That's nice. And also, green is also considered auspicious, too. Yellow and green are considered the colors for today. Vasant Panchami. It's a time for bringing about new projects. If one wants to bring in some auspiciousness to a project, this is the time to begin. It's also a time for weddings. People like to get married today. Vasant Panchami. Blessings, good fortune, everything is there because of today's auspiciousness. So it's a good day for marriages. It's a day we Lakshmi Puja, Saraswati Puja. People worship Goddess Saraswati, Goddess Lakshmi, for proper knowledge and for proper understanding like that. So throughout the Northern Hemisphere, not so much in the South, but in the Northern Hemisphere, it is a very auspicious day. And within the calendar of Vaishnavas, it's extremely auspicious. Because so many great souls disappeared today. Raghunandana Thakur, Pundarik Vidyaniti, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Vishnu Priya all left the world today on this occasion. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, it's his appearance day. I remember in 2002, I was in London at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami was there. It was actually 1 month before his disappearance from the Society of Devotees here. And we had a grand celebration in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Many of us were speaking on each of the different personalities. I spoke on Lakshmi Priya. Krishna Shetra Prabhu was there. He spoke on Lakshmi Puja, Saraswati, honoring Lakshmi. And there are other leaders speaking on the various personalities. And Tamal Krishna Goswami spoke on Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He also said during this talk that it was his 30th anniversary for taking sannyas. 1972, he took sannyas. So it was a special occasion for Tamal Krishna Goswami. So he was very, how we say, enthusiastic to speak about the glories of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and about Srila Prabhupada. He spoke in depth about Prabhupada and the history of ISKCON at that time. For me to cover all of the personalities would be means you miss breakfast, because there's a lot of personalities. So I'll try to speak a little bit about each of the personalities and try to get a little bit of the essence of their appearance, disappearance, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and by the grace of these personalities. It's not easy to speak on great souls. It says, when you try to speak about the glories of the Lord, or you try to speak about the glories of great souls, it's like a little bird trying to fly into the unlimited sky. How high can a bird fly? The bird has some power and some wing power, but the sky is unlimited. Therefore, the bird can go as high as his wing power allows him, but that's all. Therefore, one can never, and under any circumstance, properly glorify the Lord or properly cover the glories of the Lord. It's not possible. So whatever we can say is just a small little bit of their unlimited glories. Vishnu Priya. She was a part of the internal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has three primary energies. Nila, Bhu, and Shri. She is from the Bhu energy, also similar to Satyabhama, also from the Bhu energy. These three energies are divided into 16 categories of different energies by which the Lord performs his various pastimes and expands himself into various manifestations of himself. She is none other than Lakshmi Devi herself. She appeared to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his wonderful pastimes. She was the Lord's eternal consort. Again, to unite with the Lord in performing this wonderful lila for the edification and for the pleasure of all living beings. She was a very chaste and very simple and very, very devoted girl. When she was a little girl, she would go back down to the banks of the Ganges and every day worship Mother Ganga and pray to Ganga. She would see Sachi Devi every day. Sachi Devi would come and take her bath. And Sachi Devi, seeing this very devoted lady, she said, "This would be a nice husband for my son." She was thinking like that, but she never expressed it. And when Svishnupriya, she would see Sachi Devi, she would come and touch her feet. And Sachi Devi was pleased and would give her blessings and benedictions like that. So as time went on, it was time for the marriage of Gaurisundar. Of course, he had already been married once before, but due to intense separation, his former consort Lakshmi Devi left the world. And that was Lakshmi Priya. So the Lord again desired a wife. And his mother really desired a wife. She was very much afraid that he would follow into the footsteps of his elder brother Vishwarup, who had taken sannyas. But the Lord didn't want to disappoint his mother, not only disappoint, but practically break her heart, which would probably cause her to leave her body. So in that sense, he performed his grihastha lila in order to teach also how to become a good grihastha. The Lord taught what is the value of scholarship in this world by rejecting it. He taught what it was the ideal grihastha by following the principles of grihastha life and being a very dutiful and very devoted husband. And of course, in this sannyasa order, he was ideal sannyasi, following the principles so strictly and teaching by both by example and by his words. Lord Chaitanya was the ideal teacher. So marriage was thought of by Sachi Devi. One day she was meditating. It would be nice to get Vishwambar married. And that girl, the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, that was her father, Sanatan Mishra, she is the most qualified. She is the best of all ladies. So chaste, so simple, so humble, so devoted. All good qualities she had. So just so happened, we might say by the Lord's arrangement, when Pandit, Kashinath Pandit, came to the house of Sachi Mata. And he said, I have come because I was inspired to come. I think it is time for your son to get married. Yes, Sachi Mata said, I was just thinking that same way and you have arrived. This is the Lord's arrangement. And she was saying, I think the daughter of Sanatan Mishra is the best of all ladies. Kashinath Pandit said, yes, let us make the arrangement. I will go and I will speak to Sanatan Mishra. And he went. As soon as he came, before he came actually, Sanatan Mishra and his wife was thinking, it's about time for our daughter to get married. But who is qualified to marry such a qualified girl? No one except Nimai Pandit. It's amazing how easy it was to arrange this marriage. Nowadays, it's not so easy. And even though it's difficult, it still is not ideal. It still doesn't work out many times. So Sanatan Mishra felt joy in his heart, and his wife also, just before Kashinath Pandit came. And he announced that Nimai Pandit is the ideal son-in-law for you, the ideal husband for your daughter. He was so happy, and immediately it was arranged, and all the paraphernalia was arranged. Soon, Kashinath Pandit went back and told Sachi Mata, and Gaurisundar was also there. When he heard, he was very happy. And one personality of Lord Chaitanya, one associate, Budhimanta Khan, who was quite wealthy, he said, I will bear all the expense. He was quite wealthy. He said, I will pay for the whole wedding. Others said, that is not fair. We want to pay something too. Right? Nowadays, it's not so easy to raise the money, right? If you don't have reen means diary for the girl, right? It's considered an offense. And sometimes the father has to go into great debt to pay for the But this Vishnu Priya's father didn't have to pay for anything. The girl didn't have to. Puri Mata Khan said, I will arrange for the whole expense of the wedding, whatever it costs. This is my service. So it was arranged. And they made a beautiful, beautiful pandal with a beautiful canopy and various types of arrangements and decorations. And everyone in the whole town was invited. Everyone came. The learned, the ordinary, the beggars. Everyone came to this wonderful wedding. And when they saw Vishnu Priya and Gaurasundara together, everyone said, I think it looks like Sita and Ram. Others said, no, it's actually Narayan and Mother Lakshmi. Others say, no, I think it is... What else? Who else were they ever saying? Various ideal couples within the history of Vaishnava culture. Everyone was stunned to see such, elaborate arrangements and such the beauty of both couples. So a grand wedding was arranged. And Gaurasundara himself, Lord Chaitanya, when the guests would come, he personally greeted each and every guest and gave them a garland and anointed them with sandalwood paste. The Supreme Personality of Godhead takes the most humble position on his own wedding in greeting each and every guest and honoring them by offering gifts. Lord Krishna, during the Rajasuya sacrifice, the various Pandavas were given different services in connection with Yudhisthira's victory. And Krishna took the service of welcoming the sadhus by washing their feet. How much do we have to learn from this? The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, the one who is honored by all, and one who requires to give service to no one but to accept service from everyone, loves to serve his devotees. In fact, he finds the most happiness and most pleasure by honoring others. And people were coming, and they were receiving gifts and garlands and sandalwood paste and sweet words. And some people were thinking, this is so nice, they were coming back for a second time. And some people were coming back for a third time. They were getting more and more gifts. And Lord Chaitanya and all the arrangers were simply giving people as much gifts as they wanted. So it was a grand wedding. Sachi Mata, she was poor, but still everything was there by the arrangement of the Lord. So a grand wedding was arranged. Soon they were living together as husband and wife. But then Lord Chaitanya, he met Keshava Bharti. He went to Katwa. And he decided to take the sannyas order of life. He came back inspired by the association of his spiritual master, Keshava Bharti. No longer did he have any desire for the Grihastha Ashram. Lord Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya's sannyas is not like any other sannyas. We were speaking about this, how it may be easy to renounce when you don't have anything. Really, it's not much of a renunciation. If you're sleeping on the floor and you're going on day-to-day eating khichdi, and once in a while somebody gives you some maha, and you have to go out and preach all the time, and you have to deal with the non-devotees, and you have so many things, it's a struggle. That's why the curse, the benediction of an austere brahmachari is to die immediately, right? It's difficult being a brahmachari. Considered, it's only austerity. And nobody cares, right? So, especially your parents, they don't even appreciate the fact you're a brahmachari. What's a brahmachari? He's just somebody who can't make it anywhere else. It's brahmacharya. So to renounce from that position, there's no real renunciation. You take sannyas, okay. There's some austerity of that. But Lord Chaitanya, look at his situation. He had a loving and very devoted mother. His mother was so always thinking about him, always worrying about him, always caring for him, always making sure he had the finest foods. So nice, so loving, so caring. And his wife, she was an angel. She was the goddess of fortune herself. Lord Chaitanya gave all that up just to show compassion to the fallen conditioned souls of the world. But he had to break the heart of his associates and his wife and his mother. So it wasn't easy to announce his plans. In fact, it was very difficult. He did it gradually. He did it gently. But he had to do it. Finally, the news came by way of others. He didn't speak to them directly. Only when they knew that he was about to make this change in life did they approach him. And then he was trying to pacify them. But he couldn't speak to them directly. Vishnupriya, she was sad. But she was thinking, as a chaste and devoted wife, if this what makes you happy, then this also makes me happy. But that was in her mind, not in her heart. She wanted to make him happy by agreeing to whatever he wanted. But in her heart, she was brokenhearted. Just to think of being separated from him was worse than death. Death was easy. When you love someone, and when that love is so deep that your life centers around that love, especially when that love becomes the supreme love of all love, the supreme personality of Godhead, how much pain that causes when that is taken away. It's like losing. Life becomes empty. There's no meaning to life. It's just, love is everything. And when one finds it, one cherishes it and relishes it and keeps it as the most precious jewel and gem. And when it's lost, it is like one cannot compare that loss to anything. Death is easy compared to that. But what could she do? He was determined to take sannyas. And finally he did. One night, in the middle of the night, he got up from his bed and he left. His mother greeted him at the door. She knew he was going. He said, "Mother," he gave his affection and love for her, but she couldn't speak. She was like a stone statue. Tears were running down her face, and she was becoming completely stunned in shock, knowing her son was leaving. He simply left. Vishnupriya wasn't aware he left. She woke up in the middle of the night, and she looked in the space next to her, and he was gone. At that point, she felt completely lost. She cried piteously. It said that her cries were as if the whole Navadvipa was crying. The whole town. Her heart was so broken. She was so saddened. She was expecting it, but at the same time when it happened, it was like she wasn't expecting it. And Lord Chaitanya was gone. Never again to see his wife. But he wasn't, what we say, callous. He was thinking, there's something I have to do to keep her alive. Otherwise, she will leave her body. So well, there was one devotee named Vamsi, Vamsi Vadan. He said, make a deity of me and give it to Vishnupriya. That deity is still there. It's in Koladweep, right? Dameshwara. Dam means Dam, and Eshwara means controller, one who controls the Dam, Dameshwara. Dameshwara Mahaprabhu. And he's like this. Right? It's explained that the Lord has three poses. Lord Chaitanya, he's like this, he's like this, and he's like this. When he's like this, he is in his most magnanimous and most kind mood of giving as much mercy as one can accept. So that deity is there. So Vishnupriya every day would worship that deity. And she would not take her food until she fully worshipped. But what was her food? She lived simply by whatever mantras she chanted on the holy name. She would take one grain of rice and push it aside. And then she would chant another mantra and take another grain. And then, whatever grain, whatever chanting she did, that was her food for the day. She became completely emaciated. But she was so devoted to the Lord that she remained like that for 96 years. She lived to the age of 96. Worshipping the Lord, and the Lord was always with her. It was like that deity was non-different. The deity was non-different than Lord Chaitanya. So her separation from the Lord was intense. But she maintained her life somehow simply by chanting the holy names and worshiping the Lord in that beautiful deity of Dameshwar. So this is a little bit about the life of Vishnupriya. Ladies can learn chastity from this. Nowadays, at least in Western countries, when the husband leaves, wife looks for someone else. Right? It's a great offense, actually. It says for a lady to look for another husband in the presence of her children, she's condemned. By Vedic culture, by spiritual culture. It's a great offense. That marriage means devotion to the husband, lifetime devotion. Not just, well, you're gone, what am I going to do? Got to find some action somewhere. Sometimes we see, even when the husband goes on a business trip, the wife is looking for some activity. What to speak about leaving the world. This is Kali Yuga. That's why when we say Kali Yuga is a bad age, we can show examples by such things as lack of chastity, lack of devotion, lack of any good qualities. It's a very selfish age. People are selfish, very selfish. People thinking only in terms of what pleases me, and if I can please you, if pleasing you pleases me, then I can please you. But to please you without thinking of my own happiness, it's very rare we can find such things. But Vishnupriya, she pleased the Lord by her chastity, by her devotion. She showed by example that the great souls, they teach us how to live life. We may not be able to come up to the standard that they exemplify, but we should learn the principles they teach. Because the principles are the foundation by which we can practice our devotional life properly, So this is Vishnupriya. She's glorious. She's glorious in all sense of the word. Just to digress, when Lord Chaitanya would come home, he would invite sometimes his friends, and she would cook for sometimes 10, 20 people. Never complaining, never saying, why are you bringing so many people home? There's not enough food. You're trying to make me overwork. I haven't had time to watch television today. Nothing. Of course, they didn't have television. But she never complained that she wanted her own personal time. She was always devoted to whatever her husband desired. Chastity, faithfulness, devotion. Pundarik Vidyaniti, today is his disappearance day. Lord Chaitanya would call out, Father, Father. The devotees would say, who is he calling out to? Father, Father. Who is this person, Father? The Lord would say, there's a great person name. His name is Pundarik, and I am feeling great separation. Upon the Lord's separation from Pundarik Vidyaniti, Pundarik Vidyaniti actually understood within his heart, I should come to Navadvip. He came. Actually, no, I'm sorry, he came to Jagannath Puri. The Lord was there in Jagannath Puri at the time. One day, Mukunda said to Gadadhar, let's go meet Pundarik. He's a great devotee. So they went. They went to the place of Pundarik Vidyaniti. Now, Pundarik Vidyaniti was not an ordinary, he didn't appear in an ordinary way, like a simple, humble, you know, unpretentious devotee. He liked opulence. He lived in a very palatial building, and he had a grand bedstead. It's described, it had a big canopy over it. And he had lights hanging down from the canopy. He would have 3 to 6 servants always around fanning him. And they would give him betel nut on trays. And they would be singing sometimes. He was surrounded by opulence. His hair was very beautifully black, combed so nicely and perfumely scented with some very fragrant oils. He wore a very costly dhoti and looked. Sometimes he would look in the mirror and smile. And he would chew betel nut. Now, if you saw a person like that, what would you think? He's a gross materialist, right? Or he's just proud. So proud and such vanity. So when he came, Pundarik Vidyaniti said to Mukunda, Mukunda, who is this? He said, this is Gadadhar. He's the son of a great Brahmin, Madhava Mishra. He comes from a good family. He's very devoted, very humble. He has all good qualities. Pundarik was interested in the personality of Gadadhar. While Gadadhar was sitting there, all of a sudden he started to think, Mukunda's brought me here to meet a great Vaishnava, but what I see is something different. He doesn't look like a Vaishnava to me. He looks like a gross materialist. Mukunda understood the mind of Gadadhar. So he sang one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ahom bhakiyam stanakala kutam jigyasam yad yad vad vadar vav sadvi lebre datutam uchitam tanunyam kamvai dahulam saranam vrajema. It's a beautiful verse from the 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, 23rd verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes how merciful Krishna is that he gave his to a wicked witch who came with poison on their breasts to offer it to baby Krishna for feeding. And he simply took that witch, killed her, and gave her elevation on the level of his own mother. Who could be more merciful? How is it possible? Alas, alas. How is it possible to find one more merciful? Who else can I possibly take shelter of? This is the prayer. When Pundarik Vidyaniti heard Mukunda singing this in such a sweet voice, he completely changed. His mind became, his tears welled up into his eyes. His heart started to become anxious, and he started to exhibit ecstatic symptoms. He started to roll on the ground. He started to call out, who could be more merciful? Who could be more merciful? Who could be more merciful? And he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna in such a merciful way. So much so that he completely was oblivious to everything around him. He neglected everything. In fact, he became mad thinking of Krishna. And he started to break the pots that were around him. And then the servants, three of them, tried to hold him down. They couldn't. His body was so energized with ecstasy that they went flying in different directions. His hair became disheveled. His clothes, he started to rip them. Gadadhar pundits watching all this and thinking, I think I committed an offense, a great offense. This personality is a great soul. Now I understood what Mukunda was saying. And this went on for 6 hours. 6 full hours. Finally, he became to external consciousness. He realized what had happened. He became shy, humbled, and he just sat there. Gadadhar was so amazed to see this. He was thinking, I have committed an offense. I have to do something to show, to make up for this offense. He said to Mukunda, Mukunda, I have committed an offense. I've wrongly judged this great personality. I was thinking he was a gross materialist. Now by your mercy I can see he's not only a great devotee, he's one of the greatest of all devotees. So I would like to take initiation from him. Mukunda was so happy. He was so happy. He was in ecstasy hearing Gadadhar's plea. That finally he went to Pundarik. He said, Pundarik, Gadadhar, Pandit, he wants to take shelter. He does not have a spiritual guide. He wants you to be his spiritual teacher. Pundarik Vidyaniti said, how fortunate it is to have such a disciple as Gadadhar Pandit. If a spiritual master has such a qualified disciple as the Gadadhar Pandit, he feels so happy, so blessed. Sometimes we think, I have such a nice spiritual master. Yes, but a spiritual master is also thinking, I would like to have some nice disciples. If the disciples are, I mean, of course, this is the age of Kali, so everyone needs mercy. But if the disciple is qualified, if he's intelligent, if he's humble, If he's humble. If they're very dutiful and obey the instructions of the spiritual master and carry out without even asking, how knows the mind of the spiritual master? How happy a spiritual master feels! What a disciple! It's worth all my other 2,000 fallen disciples if I can just have one like that. It's like that. Anyway, so Pundarik Vidyaniti was just glorifying Gadadhar. And he said yes. Immediately he said yes. Finally, Mukunda and Gadadhar left and went back to Lord Chaitanya and they told him what happened. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He was so happy. He was so happy to hear the good fortune of Gadadhar Pandit, and he was even more happy to hear that Pundarik Vidyanidhi had come to Navadvip. And so the Lord, actually after some time, Pundarik Vidyanidhi actually came to see Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya embraced him. Not only did he embrace him, he locked in an embrace. It said he stayed in that embrace for hours. How much Lord Chaitanya actually felt deep love for Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He would call him father, father, father. He would call him, he is Premnidhi. Another name that was for Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Premnidhi. He's an ocean of love. Acharya Nidhi, he's an ocean of the best of all acharyas. These were the names given by Lord Chaitanya to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Who is he? He is actually the father of Radharani. He's Rishabhanu. He's King Rishabhanu come again in that particular form. He stayed in Navadvip. He made friends with Sarup Damodar Goswami. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. He made friends with Sarup Damodar Goswami. One day, him and Sarup Damodar Goswami, actually every day they would go to the Jagannath temple. So on this one day, it was Odhna Shasti. It's the day Lord Jagannath gets new garments. So the pujaris had these beautiful garments of white, pink, and green color for Jagannath. But they weren't washed. They still had starch in them. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi was thinking, how is it possible? Starch is such a contaminated ingredient. They're offering these garments with starch. Simply by touching starch garments, one has to wash their hands. Their hands become contaminated. And they're putting it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was astonished. He didn't say anything. He walked out. He said to Sarup Damodar Goswami, how is this possible? The Lord of the universe. Sarup Damodar said, these are the devotees of the Lord. They serve the Lord according to how the Lord wants. If the Lord wants this, this is their service. What are we to say anything? Pundarik Vidyanidhi came back with other arguments. Finally, they just laughed and joked together and they left. That night, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went to sleep. And he had a dream he didn't expect. Baladev and Jagannath both appeared in his dream and they were angry. How dare you criticize our servants? And they start slapping him with the garments. And while they were slapping him, in the dream, he was feeling quite happy. He woke up and he looked and his cheeks were all swollen. He actually got special mercy from Jagannath and Baladev. When Lord Chaitanya found out, he was happy. Of course, Sarup Damodar also was very happy. So see, there's some pastimes of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. A great personality, he's King Vrishabhanu himself, the father of Srimati Radharani. Gadadhar Pandit is none other than Srimati Radharani, appeared in this lila in order to, again, associate with her eternal Lord, Lord Krishna, in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, who else can we talk about? Raghunandana Thakur. Raghunandana Thakur, his father was Mukunda Sakar. He had three brothers, actually. Two brothers. He was one of three brothers. He was a physician. He was married. He was a grihastha. One day he was decided to leave work a little early and didn't have time to worship his deity. So he said to his wife, I think it's time for little Ranganandana to learn how to worship the deity. She said, oh, okay. Then we should teach him. So he explained, now Gopinath is there. Today you're going to learn how to serve Gopinath. Now, the boy was barely 5 years old, a young boy. And he listened very carefully. His father told him exactly what to do. Your mother will give you the boga. You bring it into the deity room. You sit down. You ring the bell. You chant the mantras. And you ask, Gopinath, please come take your prasadam. Please come and take your food. So, he left. The little boy got the glass of milk and a laddu from his mother. He brought it into the deity room, sat down, started to ring the bell, chanted the mantras. After he chanted, he said, Gopinath, please come take your food. Now, the little boy was thinking, the deity should eat. So when the deity, of course Krishna eats, but he doesn't eat like us. He can eat with his eyes, he can eat like us if he wants to. But generally, Prabhupada said he's merciful. He always leaves you something. If he wasn't so merciful, then how we would get, you know, the benefit of Mahaprasadam from the deity, right? So, I remember many years ago, 1996, I actually remember the year, the deities of Ganesh in different places around the world, I think here in India especially, the people were all, and also other deities too, they were drinking milk that was being offered to them. People were saying, oh, miracle, miracle, the Lord, he's drinking, he's eating. I remember one man came to our temple, he was so excited. Finally, when he calmed down, we told him he does that. He eats every day. But today, he's not decided not to leave you anything. We preached to him and tell him, you know, this is what the Lord does every day. But now he's giving you some, what we say, for those of you who have little faith, here's a chance to get some faith. Those of you who think that deity is simply stone or idol, or he can't eat, or he can't walk, he can't talk, he can't reciprocate. People think like that. Well, the deity's there, and sometimes we just walk past the deity like he's not even there, you know. But Krishna's there, fully, not just partially. He's fully manifested in his deity form. Arche Vishnu Siladi. He is Vishnu in the form of Archavigraha. He comes in that form in order to accept our service. Krishna is merciful. He puts himself under the care of his devotees just to reciprocate the love of his devotees. Deity worship is, we don't give as much importance as we should, but it's actually essential, as Prabhupada introduced it into our society, in order for us to purify our hearts and to actually see Krishna in that transcendental form as the deity. He's there. Gopinath's there. Radharani's there. Gornitai's there. Nachi's there. Vishakha's, they're all there, fully. It depends on your eyes. Premanjaritam bhakti vilochanena santasya daiva hridayesha vilokayanti yam shama sundara chinta guna sarupa govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. As the eyes become, what we say, tinged with the love from the heart. When the heart becomes full with love, or the eyes also become affected, and the eyes become transformed. One cannot see the Lord if the heart is not right. When the heart starts to develop love, then they can see Krishna more and more, in proportion to the quality of our and quantity of our love. So he was calling the deity. Finally, he became upset. Little boy, he started saying, Gopinath, Gopinath, eat, eat. My father said you should eat. He was actually crying. So Gopinath ate everything just to please his devotee. That night when Mukunda came home, he said, where's the prasad? He said, there's no prasad. He ate it. What's this boy speaking? I think he doesn't understand correctly. He must have ate it himself. He's hiding it or something. But he was a little curious. So the next day he did the same time. This time he hid. Mukunda hid. And again, Raghunandana came in, offered it to the Lord. And again, he cried, the Didi again. But the Didi was aware that Mukunda's looking. So he only ate half the laddu. But when Mukunda saw the Lord eating half the laddu, he understood the quality of the devotion of his son. Later, Lord Chaitanya said to Mukunda, Mukunda, hey, who's the father? Who's the son? Mukunda sat there for a minute, didn't say anything. Raghunanda, is he your father or is he your son? Lord Chaitanya said, Mukunda said, my dear Lord, Raghunanda, he's the father. And I am the son. I am learning from him. He's teaching me. His devotion is greater. Lord Chaitanya knew the greatness of Raghunandana. Who was he? Anyway, it says that in Krishna Leela, he was the son of Krishna called Kandarpa in Dwarka. And in Krishna Leela in Vrindavan, he was Kandarpa Manjari. So he was Cupid himself in that form as a transcendental gopi. So, Raghunandana Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Would you like to hear more about Raghunandana Thakur? Actually, he's interesting. Abhiram Gopal. Abhiram Gopal was such a powerful devotee of Lord Nityananda that if he paid obeisances to anyone who was not a pure devotee, they would die immediately. So one day he heard about the glories of Raghunandana Thakur and he decided to come and see Raghunandana. And of course, if he came to see him, he was going to pay his obeisances. So his parents found out ahead of time that Abhiram Gopal was coming to see their son. And they were thinking, they knew the power of this great personality. If he pays his obeisances to our son, he's going to die. So they took him and hid him in another village. But somehow or other, Abhiram Gopal came and found him. He paid his obeisances to Raghunandana Thakur, and he didn't die. He was a 5-year-old boy, 100% pure devotee of the Lord, just like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. Such great personality. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. His birth was in a village called Prasiddha, Devagram. He had two brothers. He lived in Murshidabad, and he stayed in Sayadabad. Murshidabad is actually the district of Sayadabad. His guru was Sri Krishna Charanan Chakravarti, who came in line from Narottam Das Thakur. Lord Chaitanya gave mercy to Lokanath Das Goswami, who blessed Narottam Das Thakur, who blessed Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. And in that line came Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, another line of disciplic succession. That is the Shiksha line. Out of the Shiksha line and the Shiksha line is more important. Why is the Shiksha line more important than the Diksha line? The Diksha line is just a series of acharyas, greater personalities, but the Shiksha line is the prominent acharyas who are outstanding in performing their devotional service in such a way that they contribute something to the Vaishnav culture, which is a foundational principle. In other words, they do something extraordinary. That is the Shiksha line. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was also known as Hari Vallabha. He was given the name Chakra. Chakra means circle, like that, circle. And Varti means like influence. So his actual name means he who reveals the jewel of devotion to Vishwa. Vishwa means the Lord. So Vishwa Vishwa means the Lord. Chakra means the circle of influence. And Varti means maintainer. He who reveals the jewel of devotion to Vishwa and expands the circle of bhakti. And he is called the emperor of devotional qualities. And of course, he wrote many books, especially as Madhurya Kadambini. And he was one of the few Vaishnavas that were there in Vrindavan when practically all the Vaishnavas had left the planet due to the separation of Lord Chaitanya. There was hardly anybody left after Lord Chaitanya. He actually appeared about 100 years after Lord Chaitanya. Almost 100 years after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. So today he is a powerful acharya. He teaches the science of bhakti. Madhurya Kadambini is one of the more important Vaishnav literatures that teaches the science of bhakti. He analyzes bhakti in its more finer aspects of the praxis, teaching us what to avoid in devotional service. What are some of the subtle forms of contamination that we cannot somehow easily perceive in our day-to-day life? Just like when you somehow or other get some recognition, there's a danger. As soon as you're recognized by the society of Vaishnavas, you should know you're in danger. Why? Because that recognition can bring about false pride. Or if one has a position within the society of Vaishnavas and is receiving service due to that position, one can start to see, one can start to think that one is advanced because of that. Advancement is simply the purification of the heart, not position. Position may indicate some advancement, but it is not the final word for advancement. Advancement means one who has actually purified the heart. So one can be an ordinary, simple floor sweeper and be a pure devotee. And one can be a great apparent sannyasi traveling and still have material desires. So it is basically the purification of the heart that counts. So Vishwanath Chakravarti teaches more the subtle contaminations that can come by way of association within the society of devotees and receiving some accolades, some perks, some benefits by that. He teaches also what is the mentality of a struggling devotee, how one sees. So we should read that book, Madhurya Kadambini. It's taught in what we call showers, rains. It's like inundations. These are inundations of devotional mercy coming from the great souls by way of the Lord's mercy. The Lord's mercy is coming through the great souls. And they purify our hearts. Just like if one is unclean, one takes a shower. So in that same way, one becomes showered by the words of the great souls. These words actually purify our heart and actually give clarity to our spiritual practice. And in that clarity, we can move nicely along the path of bhakti. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Rupa Goswami, great scientists of bhakti, teaching the various aspects of the process of devotional service. Prabhupada said, this process is simple, but then again, it is also quite, what we say, intricate. There's intricacies in that. Why? Because the contamination of material energy is so deep that as one, what we say, practices devotional service, the contamination is not always so easily seen. Therefore, the scientists, the great soul, teach us what to avoid and how to see our own progress in devotional service. to examine our own mentalities. In this age of Kali, the mind becomes easily afflicted and affected by the age itself. The contamination of Kali is so strong that even if one is chanting Hare Krishna, one can be, you know, somewhere else where you don't want to be. The mind just takes you, right? You're chanting Hare Krishna, you see something or you think of something, and that associates with something else, and that associates with something else, and that associates with something else. And pretty soon, you're in, you know, places you don't want to be. So the mind is so, what we say, tricky, and so, what we say, unsteady. So to be able to understand the process of bhakti very carefully and to understand the nature of the subtle contaminations, the great acharyas have exposed this process threadbare. Prabhupada said threadbare. This science is taught down to its tiny, minuscule of philosophical principles. No other teachings of religious knowledge in the world has such depth of understanding and intricacy of the relationship between the soul and the supreme soul in such completeness. You can't find it anywhere. Therefore, Prabhupada said, study these books. Study these books. They're so important to understand the nature of our relationship with Krishna. Read this science. Understand it. Apply it. It is a great science. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur had wrote many books on this science of bhakti. Today is his appearance. Out of all the great personalities that we are honoring today, today is his appearance day. Last but not least is Sri Rupa Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Das Raghunath, Raghunath Das Goswami. What can we say about Raghunath Das Goswami? His renunciation cannot be compared to anyone's. He is the epitome of Vairagya. Wealthy, born in a very wealthy, aristocratic, and very mercantile family. Father, uncle, relatives, devotees, at least pious devotees, in one sense of the term, dedicated to religious principles, employed by the local government, seen as respectable, upstanding personalities. He was the only son. But he had no taste for anything material. His father would try to give him wealth, so many things he was never interested in. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As soon as he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was all he needed. He became so attached to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that everything in his life became completely useless, insignificant. What is this material world anyway? What is our relationship with anything in this world? Our relationship with anything in this world is mental concoction. That's all it is. Anything that we connect with ourselves in this world is simply a feature of the mind. That's all. Everything is a part of the illusionary energy. We have nothing to do with this world at all. The mind just takes us on different planes of existence, and we like and don't like certain things, but it's all mental speculation. That's what Lord Chaitanya told Sanatan Goswami. Some people say this is good, and some people say this is bad. But as far as I am concerned, it's all useless. Why? Because the soul has nothing to do with anything material. Lord Chaitanya gave the final analysis that this is our relate. He told that to Vishnu Priya. He said to Vishnu Priya before he took sannyas that the relationships in this world are simply illusion. We only have one relationship. That is with Krishna. That is our only relationship. And whatever relationship we establish with others is simply, if it's not based on our relationship with Krishna, it is part of the illusionary energy. If it's based on our relationship with Krishna, it is as good as our relationship with Krishna. This is reality. This is reality. So Raghunath Das Goswami, what did he? He had everything material. He had no desires to be fulfilled in a material way. He had everything he needed, but he wasn't interested. Not at all. His father wanted him to get married, follow in his footsteps. Parents like that, right? They want their children to follow in the footsteps, to take up the business, right? To be like me, to carry on the family name, right? That's what life is about, carrying on the family name. So brahmacharis have broken strides with normal society, right? You're not carrying on the family name. You left your parents. It's terrible, isn't it? The family name, no children. My mother says, well, no children, no grandchildren. What are you doing to me? It's like an offense. She's still thinking maybe someday he'll change. I'm over 60 years old now, and maybe there's still hope for him. It's like, you know, family opera. Maha family opera. It's the greatest offense not to have, you know, siblings, children, you know. But what can we say about things of this world that are all temporary? So, Raghunath Das Goswami, his parents were determined to change his mind. And so they decided, well, if we can keep him from going to see Lord Chaitanya, that's at least, he won't leave home anyway. So they hired 11 guards to keep him. And they would tie him down sometimes. Actually, his mother said that, we should tie him down. His father said, what's the use of tying him down? His wife is like an angel. She's even more beautiful than an angel. If he's not attracted by these things, what's the use? They tried everything. Finally, he escaped. Went to see Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya immediately, before he went to see Lord Chaitanya, actually he went to see Lord Nityananda. Actually, Lord Chaitanya sent him back to take care of his parents. He said, you go back, take care of your parents. In due course of time, Krishna will release you from this bondage. Now you become a good son. Do your duty to your family. So he did for a while. But finally, he left. And he came. He was coming. He actually saw Lord Nityananda sitting with his associates from a distance. And he paid his obeisances to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said to his association, who's that? They said, that's Raghunath. Oh, Raghunath, huh? He's a rascal. Nityananda chastised him. He said, Raghunath, after he put his foot on Raghunath's head. I mean, if you get your Lord Nityananda's foot on your head, I mean, that is, I mean, somebody else puts their foot on your head, you're thinking, what an offense. Lord Nityananda's foot on your head? Nittaipada Kamalam, Koti Chandra Sushi Tala. It's like millions of moons on your head, cooling the head. The head's usually full of what? Things that you don't need. So if the cooling moon of Lord Nityananda's mercy falls upon your head, then your head becomes purified, right? And the rest of you too, not just your head. All your existence and even your family members get benefit. So that's Lord Nityananda. He's very merciful. So, of course, I don't know how much time we have, but there was a beautiful festival that is called the Panihati Festival. where Lord, where Raghunath Das Goswami fed Lord Nityananda and all his associates. By serving Lord Nityananda and all of Vaishnavas, he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very, very, very essential point. To get the mercy of God, you have to get the mercy of God's devotees. Can't approach the Lord directly. The Lord's devotees are actually very dear to the Lord. So one who serves the Lord devotees actually is actually really serving the Lord. And the Lord is so happy that one can get the association and the darshan of the Lord simply by serving the Lord's devotees with devotion. There's no greater service than to serve those who are serving the Lord. That is the highest of all service. Prabhupada said, Das, Das, Anudas, 100 times removed. Everyone wants to be in this world, at least they aspire to be the best, to get over somebody else. But a Vaishnava is thinking, how can I serve others? That's a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is not thinking, what can I do for the Lord? What can I do for the Lord's devotees? He's also thinking of the Lord, but he's thinking in terms of that the Lord is very pleased when his devotees are served nicely. And there's so many ways you can serve the devotees. Devotees are very kind. Devotees are very merciful. So Raghunath Das served the Lord Nityananda and all his associates and got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he came into the society of devotees. He escaped from his parents. And Lord Chaitanya immediately put him under the care of Sarup Damodar Goswami. That is a beautiful story. The renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami cannot be. Every day he paid 2,000 obeisances. 1,000 obeisances to the devotees, 1,000 obeisances to the Lord. His following of regulative principles was like lines in a rock. If you see markings in the rock, guys, you see Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai. If you see lines in the rock, if you try to erase them, you can't. They're fixed. So Raghunath Das Goswami's chanting of the holy names and his service to the Vaishnavas was like fixed. It was fixed. And of course, we understand his renunciation. Finally, he was practically eating nothing and simply just taking a little bit of rejected rice that the cows would not eat from the Jagannath temple, and he was living on that. That's all. And sometimes someone would bring him a little buttermilk. Raghunath Das Goswami was so much in the mood of Radharani that he was a devotee of Radharani. He was in Radharani's camp. He was actually a Manjari. Now, he would have nothing to do with the other gopis, the right-wing gopis, headed by Chandravali. One day, one personality went to Sakistala. That's where Chandravali stays with all her associates. And he got some buttermilk, and he found some nice butter. No, he actually has some buttermilk leaves, and he made a beautiful cup from that. He took the leaves from Sakistali, and then he got some buttermilk, and he brought it to Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami said, oh. He said, where did you get this? He said, I got these leaves from Sakistali. He said, he became, all of a sudden his mind changed. He took the buttermilk and threw it. This is Radharani's opponent. I have nothing to do with Chandravali. That was his loving devotion, dedication to Srimati Radharani. He was fixed in that mood. I'll tell one more story. I know it's late. And it's almost time for lunch. The devotee, the brahmacharis are smart. They eat breakfast early, some of them. Some of them. I will have to skip breakfast today. But anyway, that's all right. Have lunch. One story. Raghunath Das Goswami, he did his bhajan. He did his service at Radhakund. When he came, Radhakund and Shyamakund were just small little ponds. When he saw the condition, he was thinking, it would be nice to make a beautiful pond for Radharani, a beautiful bathing ghat. But then he was thinking, I have no money, and I'm not going to go get money, too. I'm in a renounced order. But still, Radharani should have something nice. So he prayed to the Lord. One day, some very wealthy merchant was traveling to Badrinath. As he was traveling every year, he came to see Badri Vishal. He came that first night and he fell asleep, and he was about to give a big donation the next day to Badrinath. But in his dream, Badri, his worshipful deity, appeared to him and said, "Go to Vrindavan. There's a great soul. His name is Raghunath. Give him the money. He has a project." He woke up. Immediately he remembered the dream completely. And he left, traveled all the way from Badrinath to Vrindavan. It's a long way. Finally he met Raghunath Das Goswami, gave him the money. Raghunath was happy to receive it and immediately engaged. He actually asked this man, "You engage workers," and Raghunath directed it, and this man organized the construction or the renovation of Radhakund and Shyamakund. And while it was going on, Raghunath Das had a dream one night. And in his dream, the Pandavas appeared to him in the dream and said, "We're here on the banks of Shyamakund, so please don't cut us down. Because Shyamakund, even today, you'll see it's not exactly as square as Radhakund because those five trees were not touched by Raghunath Das Goswami." And so he excavated that and he did his bhajan there. He stayed in that area. Sometimes he would sit in a hot sun reading scripture and Krishna would come personally and hold an umbrella over his head. One time, Sanatana Goswami was walking. He saw Krishna himself holding an umbrella over the head of Raghunath Das Goswami. Another time, Radharani, he was doing his bhajan in a hot sun. She came. She took the end of her sari and covered the head of Raghunath Das Goswami so he would be able to be cool while he was doing his bhajan. He wasn't able to see, but Sanatana Goswami sees. He said to Raghunath Das Goswami, "You're accepting service from Radharani and Krishna. They're coming to shade you. Not only that, there's tigers that are coming by. And it's very dangerous. You should get your own bhajan kutir." So because he felt bad hearing that Radharani and Krishna were doing personal service to him, he agreed. He has his own bhajan kutir there. On the banks of Radhakund, you can go. And there's a 24-hour kirtan that goes on continuously in glorification of the disappearance of Raghunath Das Goswami. One of the greatest of all the Goswamis. Each of the Goswamis are great in and of themselves. But we note Raghunath Das Goswami for his renunciation. Practically was eating nothing. And writing, doing his prayers, bhajan, and helping to excavate Radhakund and Shyamakund. Prabhupada said one time, when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, he said, "I'm not eating, hardly sleeping. There's no question of sex life. There's no defense. I'm liberated." He said, this is this platform. These activities, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, are activities of the body. They're necessary in order to maintain the body within a certain realm. But as we go on in our spiritual life, we should see that these things should be reduced, and ultimately we have to give them up before we leave this body. We have to give attachment to them. We have to give any attachment to these things because they have to do with this material body. Somehow the soul has taken on a material body. The soul has nothing to do with the material body. But in order for the soul to exist in this world, it requires something material. So the body is simply a place where the soul exists in this world. But this world is not our home. It's simply a temporary place. Do your business. Get out. Don't stay. Don't try to hang around. Jesus Christ said something very wonderful. He said, this world is like a bridge. Walk across it. Don't build any house upon it. It's a temporary place. People are trying to find happiness in the place where there is no happiness. Trying to find permanency in a place where everything is anitya and asubham. Krishna says this world is anitya, asubham. It's temporary. There's no happiness. Everyone is working hard to find happiness. Everyone's working hard to stay here as long as possible. Right? Just recently, one great personality from Bengal, he just left his body. One big communist leader, right? He died at the age of 96. He was practically in a very diseased condition. And they were trying to keep him alive. At 96, his body was falling apart. And they were thinking, let's keep him alive. What for? I remember my mother said to me one day, oh, my friend Charlie, he's 100 years old today. Happy birthday to Charlie. How do you go? 100 years old. He can't do anything, but he's still, he's like an old piece of furniture. That's all. Take it to the flea market and sell it. Nobody will buy it anyway. It's just like, Lord Chaitanya stayed 48 years. His life was exemplary. Jesus Christ stayed, 32 years. His life was exemplary. Saint Teresa, one of the greatest Christian saints, she stayed 23 years. Her life was exemplary. Shankaracharya stayed 33 years. What did he do? So much. It's not how long you live. It's what you do when you're here. One should not aspire for longevity. One should aspire for quality. Therefore, one should not waste time. One should not waste time. One should use time to qualify one, put quality in one's life. And that is, one should each day becoming more and more attached to devotional service and less interested in anything of this world. That is success in life. So today is a wonderful day. It's an auspicious day, both materially and spiritually, Basant Panchami, the appearance and disappearance of so many great personalities. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Thank you.